Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of The Weekly Show. I know we're missing someone very important here, Jim. Jim is sick at the moment. So, Jim, I see you in the chat. Get better soon. But I am joined. Well, I'm Stormy, by the way, for those I have audio listeners and stuff at home. And I'm here with Natty.
Hello.
Hello, Natty.
Yes. We're missing Straight a lot.
Sorry, Straight. We miss you. Mm-hmm. Hope you're feeling better soon.
Yes. But I'm very happy to be here, especially this week because...
Because?
We play games together this week.
We
and
did.
We saw each other super recently. And
I know. It's all happening.
To talk about.
I know. It was really nice. I think I have had like a proper Goa gaming sesh like with the team like yet until just recently. And a few of us jumped on for game that will be mentioned later. But that was really, really fun. And
yeah.
I'm really excited for the show tonight. I have, if you might have seen it on Twitter, because I have mentioned I did start up a little segment to get us started and just to get us all in the loop with the latest gaming stuff this week. So I should have had a little like jingle for this, but I like,
oh,
it's,
no.
You know, it's fine.
Well,
maybe next time.
We'll brainstorm it.
This is the trial session.
Yeah.
This is the trial session. I am calling it my Stormy's lightning fast recaps of the week. And I say lightning fast, I'm not going to spit them all out, but basically, I'm going to basically let you guys know all the new games that have come out this week so far and coming out at the end of this week. Let you know what is coming to Game Pass. Xbox tweeted out yesterday all the new stuff coming to Game Pass the rest of the month. And also let you know all the latest articles on the website before we get stuck straight into things. So
are we going to find some of these a bit shocking?
Oh,
because it's a lightning round.
Oh, maybe. I know. The sound effects and the music is something I really wish we had now, but it's fine.
I almost feel like it's a Dracula music with thundercloud.
Yeah. And then my eyes go red and I'm looking like this. All right. Well, here we go. Games that have released or are releasing this week. Out now, we have A Plague Tale Requiem, which is also now available on Game Pass. That came out Game Pass day one. And we also had, I believe it was yesterday, Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed. And just recently, we also had Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection for PC. And a review for that one is actually out right now on GameOnOz.com, written by our very own Royce Wilson. So make sure you give that a read if you are an Uncharted fan and you want to know how this collection plays on PC. So that's all the big stuff out so far this week. And for tomorrow, we have Jackbox Party Pack 9, as well as the new Mario and Rabbids game, Sparks of Hope. And then on Friday, we have Gotham Knights and New Tales from the Borderlands. So this week has been really, really big. Like, this week. After having, I feel like, such a quiet year where, like, releases have been a bit, like, here and there. This whole week and even next week is going to be jam-packed. So hold on to your wallets.
It's a good thing about the holiday season coming up because that's when they start releasing all the big titles. So
yeah,
I was worried because of COVID and recession and other things that, you know, we weren't going to be getting so many titles this year. But yeah, lots coming out, which is
once.
Awesome.
Yeah, now it's all happening at once. So for some of these games that are coming out or have come out this week or coming out very, very soon, make sure you keep an eye out on our website for some upcoming reviews. Natty, is there anything that's come out this week that's caught your eye at all, or you might pop on your Christmas wish list or anything?
Look,
just yet?
We have a group catch-up normally called Festivus, which is like 6 weeks before Christmas, where we always get together and play Jackbox, the recent Jackbox game. So I cannot wait for that to be out. It means Festivus is coming up soon, and that's just going to be amazing. We give each other awful gifts. It's amazing.
Oh, that sounds really, really cool. Is that a tradition?
I don't know if you've watched any of Seinfeld. So,
oh, I haven't.
So there's a thing in Seinfeld where one of the families just get together for Christmas. They call it Festivus and they just complain. So it's meant to be like an anti-Christmas kind
of. Yeah, that's really cool. I like it. I like it. Yeah. I'll just quickly say as well, very quickly, Aleti, thank you. Welcome to the stream. Welcome to the podcast. Feels like my games list has never been longer, they say. And I feel the same. I feel absolutely the same. Are you a big Jackbox Party Pack fan in general, Natty? Or?
Yes, 1,000%. on PC, parties, New Year's Eve, it always comes out with friends at house parties because I never go out anymore because I'm old. it's just fabulous. Thank you, Gamma. He gets my Seinfeld reference. That is Frank Costanza. He runs the Festivus Festival.
Maybe I'll just have to watch this episode alone just to get the context.
I think it might be worth it, but you've got to remember that Seinfeld is a bit like everybody's a bad person.
Yes, yeah. No.
Watching in retrospect kind of isn't as entertaining when it's just like, these are just all terrible people doing terrible things. Why is this funny?
No, I get it. I mean, I watched a lot of Friends and I feel like a lot of that hasn't dated well either. But anyway. We're getting sidetracked. Like, we love these TV shows.
We're losing our lightning.
It's not your fault. We're just reminiscing. That's all it is. So, I mean, for me, Gotham Knights, I'm really interested to see what that is going to be like, especially story-wise, because I feel like DC games, for me, well, the ones that I've played, particularly the Arkham series, I just feel like the stories are done so, so well. So I'm, one, very excited to see kind of, you know, whether that kind of meets those expectations that me and other fans of, you know, those Arkham series games have as well. But also the fact that we're getting such a, like, kind of cool collection of characters to kind of play with, you know, right at the very beginning. I am aware that, like, I think it's just the two-player co-op experience they've got for the campaign. But I did see that they announced in November they are introducing, like, a separate four-player online co-op sesh, which is pretty
very cool.
So I'm keen to look into that a bit more. Again, try not to be too biased because I am a bit of a DC fan. But even Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed has a really cool concept behind it. Have you seen much of that?
No, you know what? I kind of burnt out on Ghostbusters game a little bit.
Oh, really?
There was a game, a mobile Ghostbusters game that was a bit like, you know, Pokemon Go or like Wizards Unite, where you go around using a real map, real life map, catching ghosts and stuff. And that didn't turn out super well, so I kind of
you've been a bit
lost my love for Ghostbusters games.
Oh, no, well, I mean, this one like really seems to appeal to me because it's like they describe it on this because it's on the Epic Games Store. I'm just reading what it says here. It says it's a asymmetrical like multiplayer battle, online or offline. So like you'll have, I think it looks, you know, whether you're because you can hunt or you can haunt as well. It's supposed to be quite family friendly, which I kind of like because I don't know, like, you know, especially when. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I guess Ghostbusters is horror, if you want to like, say it loosely. Like, I don't know. Maybe because I grew up with it. I'm like, eh, it's not scary. But I guess, you know, for that family
it's
kind of.
It's just a giant marshmallow. It's fine.
Yeah, it's nothing to be worried about. I think it's, I think, you know, the fact that it's kind of catered towards a more general audience, I think that's really cool too. But, yeah, those are the two that I'm looking forward to. I haven't played Mario Rabbids game before, but. I've heard the first one's really, really good.
Yeah, I absolutely. I love XCOM, which if you talk to anybody, it's really the same gameplay, just say Mario and Rabbids instead of XCOM. So, yeah, anybody who loves, like, the turn-based strategy, tactical kind of gameplay really seems to love it. Again, not one I've played, but my hubby's played it, and we sit and play games together. So I get to vicariously get something
like live through that.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get that too. All right.
I do appreciate Charlie's comment. Luigi's Mansion is the best ghost.
Oh yeah. How can we forget Luigi's Mansion? It's almost quite fitting as well because obviously we're in the Halloween month as well. So I think that's quite fitting that Ghostbusters has come around at the same time. Well, coming soon to Game Pass as well this month. Well, tomorrow we have speaking of spooky games, Amnesia Collection and Amnesia Rebirth, as well as another game called Phantom Abyss. On Friday, Persona 5 Royale, or was it Royale?
Ooh,
or Royal? And then October 27, this one is PC only, Frog Detective, The Entire Mystery, and there's also Gunfire Reborn and Signalus. Signalus? I know, we were talking about this on stream, but like, how do we even pronounce it?
We're going with Signalus. Sorry for offending anybody with that.
Oh, thanks, Gamma, for the link there as well. But yeah, they just got tweeted out yesterday. I remember, like, years and years ago watching YouTubers play Amnesia and stuff like that. But I get easily scared, but that I'm going to contradict myself a bit later in the show, I think. Those are the new additions coming to Game Pass very, very soon.
That's so exciting. I'm really excited when people get to play Persona 5.
I've never played a Persona game before.
I can tell
you're really excited. Like, is 5 a good place to start? Or
look, Persona 4 is my favorite.
Okay.
Well, like, top 5 favorite games of all time, Persona 4 is in the mix. But 5 is great. Like, it's really stylized and really friendly with how it presents the characters and the story and stuff. Because the only thing I want to say about 5 is there's some really adult mature content, like, right up front.
I
think, like, people don't really expect. So if you do want to play it, I'll talk to you about it first so you're prepared. But yeah, no, it's Persona games are great because you get the slice of life stuff, which is you go to class and answer quiz questions and you go around the city and buy books and study to boost, like, your character stats. And then you go fight in dungeons at night with your crew.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. The only thing I know off Persona is Joker because of Smash Brothers.
Yes.
That's my only kind of connection I have with the game there as well. Jim says as well, Phantom Abyss is so much fun. Gavin says there's also a VR Ghostbusters game coming too. I don't know if I could do it in VR. I know it was just like, oh, Ghostbusters isn't that scary, but I don't. When stuff is in VR, that's a whole different level of immersion.
Yeah, 1,000% agree with that. It's very different when it's like a centimeter away from your eyeball.
Yeah, exactly. And then to finish up the recaps of the week, I'm going to let you guys know about all the latest Game on Oz reviews. The team's working always work super, super hard, and I just thought, hey, just in case you missed any of them, check them out, GameOnOz.com. As I mentioned before, we have Royce's Uncharted Legacy of Thieves collection for PC review, Reflex's Logitech G502X series and Where It All Started article, Dylan's review of the horror game The Fridge is Red. So if you're looking for something scary, you know, this Halloween, maybe go give that one a read. Alentric came out with a Slime Rancher 2 review. Doom Cutie put out a review for, is it Dakar? Or is it?
Dakar.
I was going to sound really Aussie and be like, Dakar.
Dakar.
Anyway, sorry. No. I was like, I'm stumbling across my pronunciation. So go check out, if you like your racing stuff, go check out Doom Cutie's review. Doom Cutie's a big racing fan in general, so definitely check out the review of that game there. Straightjack Jim's review of Ardent Roleplay, which is a tabletop game mixed with, like, augmented reality integration. This was at PAX, I believe. Did you check this out, Natty?
So cool. Yeah, let me just quickly pitch this to you.
Do it.
So you're playing a D&D game. Somebody always wants to take Fireball and they set everything on fire, but you don't want to set your actual tabletop miniatures on fire. So what this lets you do is it uses an AR card on the table and you use your mobile phone screens so you can set it up so you can set the AR miniatures on fire or flood them or destroy them or make them overgrown and look ravaged or whatever you want to do.
I love that. That sounds so good. Like, I saw a few pictures in Jim's article and I was like, how did I miss this? Like, if I knew it was there, I would have bolted and been like, let me look at it. But the concept is so fantastic, really clever. Definitely give that one a read if you like your tabletop stuff. And then also we have Mikey's No More Heroes 3 Next Gen review as well. All of these articles are available to read at GameOnOz.com now. And that is also where you can find all the latest gaming news and all our podcast episodes for The Weekly Show and, of course, Nuts and Bolts. So make sure you check it out there. And that is my lightning fast recaps for the week.
So how long did that take us? How long was the lightning class recap?
10 minutes.
10 minutes, all right.
Well, there was a lot more games I was expecting than I was like, in the concept came to me, and I was like, okay, let's see what's coming out. And then I saw like all the stuff coming out, like, you know, for this week, and I was like, this is a lot more than I thought there was. But then also we just have so many articles that have been published in the last week on the Game on Oz website too. And I just thought,
our team is just crazy pumping great articles. Yeah.
So just like, definitely go make sure you check them out. Most of us are all on social media too. So if you like an article that you've read, you know, send us a tweet, maybe share it with your friends. You know, it's fantastic to know that, you know, people have enjoyed reading some stuff that we're really passionate about, and we've had the opportunity to jump on and play. So there we go.
Absolutely. I absolutely loved it today. Somebody shared it. It was Grumpy's Splatoon 3 review and just said, oh yes, my daughter's absolutely loving this game. And then somebody called them out and said, no, you're forcing your daughter to play this game. Don't use that as an excuse.
That is basically, I think, what people will say to me about like my sister now she's getting older. Like, I'm like, here's some of my favorite games, like, you should play them. So yeah, that's kind of what's happening.
You're being a wonderful influence on
I'm just trying to, you know, be a good role model and put what I think is like some of my favorite games in her hands, and then she could just thank me later.
Absolutely. You're introducing her to the classics.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she'll have a good fundamental understanding of what makes a good game.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So there we go. Lightning fast recaps of the week is done, which brings us into our bloody good games of the week, thanks to Aussie Broadband, which is like,
thank you, Aussie Broadband.
Thanks, Aussie Broadband. I like, this is one of my favorite segments because then it kind of like pushes me almost to either play something new or just to kind of revisit an old favorite of mine. So I think I might start off with one that I actually got given to me through Hype Train Digital, so thank you so much. It is called Such Art Genius Art Simulator. I just call it Just Art. Such Art, sorry. And it's basically an art sim, but it is so in depth. So in the trailer here, you can basically see that it's set in the future. I think it's like 2107 or something like that, you know, very, very far into the future. And your DNA possesses this artistic, you know, gene. And basically you have your own studio space where you can basically create anything you want. Like, it has a campaign mode with like tasks and stuff, but you can also create your own works of art. And then when you do make these works of art, you can basically sell them on like a little virtual marketplace where like your NPCs can like, you know, purchase them. You have a little gallery you can show them off, like here. And yeah, like, it's so in depth. And then like when you get money, you can buy more tools. So like there's some really obvious kind of tools like brushes and rollers and stuff like that, but then there are also other things like hair dryers and sandpaper, so you get all that like kind of texture and stuff for like, you know you can flame some stuff up and things like that too. It's so fun. Like, the actual freedom that you have to do whatever you want is great, and you can see people are decorating their art studios in whichever way you want, because obviously when you paint stuff, things are gonna fly everywhere. It's going to get messy.
Yes.
But yeah, I genuinely really, really loved playing it, because it's that whole concept and that whole idea of, you know, there's no wrong thing. You know, there's no wrong way to do it. Like, it asked me to draw a picture of a cat or something like that.
Mm.
And it was like, draw a cat. And I was like, oh, but I want the cat to look like this. I want it to embody my spirit and things like that. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. And it was the worst looking cat you have ever seen. And then the feeling of validation I got when I get this message in my little inbox going, oh my God, like, it really spoke to me. Here's your money. And I was like, oh, I'm so good at this. It was like, it was a really wholesome, very cozy game. And it got to a point because I played it on stream, and I would have a picture up of a Pokemon, and then that's what was the last 2 hours of the stream was me trying to draw Piplup and things like that. And it's just, aww, it's really, really fun. It's really fun. I had such a great time playing it, and I don't have an artistic bone in my body. And it was just fun to have the freedom to really do whatever you wanted. And it was really clever in a way as well where, for example, like I was painting my Piplup, and you can mix colors together and things like that. You've got a whole array of different like color palettes and stuff to choose from. So if you mix a certain color together and you need that color again, you have a little tool where you can like pick the color into this little machine zapper, and then you can get it like put into a tube for you to use again next. It's really, really cool. Really, that's really awesome. It wasn't a game I was expecting to play, but when I was given the opportunity to play it, I was like, yeah, let's give it a go. Let's have some fun, muck around with it, and made a big mess. So everywhere in the studio, there was like little remnants of like my spray paint or, you know, bits and pieces. It was really nice because it really makes you, or encourages you to make like the space your own, if that makes sense. Really, really fun, and it's just cozy and wholesome, and it's got like a creative mode in there too. It does have Twitch integration, which I couldn't get going, unfortunately, but I think basically the idea was that the audience could, and maybe it was good I didn't have it on, but tell you what they thought of your art.
That could end badly.
I know. So
lose some of the wholesome.
I know, but it was good. It was really, really, it was great. It was clever. It's available on Steam. Such Art. I forgot to mention as well, Such Art was developed by Goose Minded, and I believe it's called Vulgi, and published by Hype Train Digital, which supplied the code for me for the stream. So thank you very much. And that is my bloody good game of the week. Are you good at art, Natty?
I am not an artist. I was just looking at the game though, and what you were talking about, like it sounds like it's a really good way of kind of nicely and gently nurturing that creative side.
Yeah.
Just to encourage you to try things and not so much worrying about the failure, because everybody sounds like they're supportive in the game when they come and have a look at your artwork.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I don't know if there's an actual system or a way to have them, I guess, or have the NPCs, whoever's like roaming about in your gallery or whoever you're doing these little commissions for in the game as like part of the campaign, there's a proper way that they actually rate it, or if it's just, you know, if they ask for unconventional colors and you just splat about different colors everywhere. Whether that's enough for you to earn the points to like get a good thing, or whether you can just put whatever you want and it's that friendly and approachable where it would be like, yeah, you did a good job, you know?
Yeah.
I don't mind either way. I think it's really great. Sassless says, I'm sold. A lady said, I have recently played this and I had so much fun painting literally everything. All the tools felt very natural and intuitive as well. Cause yeah, the tools in that was awesome. Like I got a little, I didn't get to do it, but you know how people do those textured paintings and they have the little knife?
The little scraper, and they build it up.
I really wanted to do that, but they had that, and they had like a little, they had spray cans and almost like those water guns, but you could just spray paint out of like little paint guns and stuff. Yeah, it's awesome. really fun. I think if anyone wants to get the artistic side out, minus the mess, that's a good one. That's a good one.
It reminds me of a game I played a really long time ago. It was a messy indie called Pass. I'm not going to say it right. Pass Parrot, something like that. Hang on, I'm going to actually Google it. It's Pass and then Partrout. Pass Putout. I don't know how you're supposed to pronounce it, but it's a really similar kind of thing, but obviously less high tech than this. So you have critics come through and you have to try and tailor the paintings to what the critics would want.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the game, you have a critic that loves your art the most. So you know, feature all your abstract or all pastels or whatever to try and tailor it to the critic. But this looks like 10 times built on of what that game is and looks like so much fun.
Yeah, it's a lot more in depth than I was. Well, I mean, I went in with no expectations, but the amount of what you could do, like you can see they like someone's just made stencils there
to like. I saw the dominoes before. Somebody like setting up a domino system to paint things. Yeah.
Like I think, like I love games where like the sky's the limit. You know, when it comes to that kind of stuff. Like all of these paintings I just saw on the wall there, and I was like, oh my god, you don't want to look at mine. Mine was shocking. Like the first one I had to do was a unicorn, and I have to find a picture. Maybe I'll tweet it. It was that embarrassing. I was like, this is so bad.
You do have to share.
No, I'll do it. Maybe
we need to all get a code for the game and then we can all share our favourite pictures.
We all share our art collectively.
And we can have a competition.
And then we can print it out and put it in the Game One Oz studio for the weekly show. And that would be like our masterpiece.
Like all in the background on panels. I like it.
Yeah. Well.
Who's telling Pete?
I will break okay. the news. I'll break
let
the
him
news.
Know.
Yeah. Well,
what's featured your... by us.
Yes. Well, collectively, we'll all do it. We'll pass it around. Yeah. I feel like I could talk about this game for ages, but I'm going to stop now. Please, Natty, tell us what your bloody good game of the week is.
My bloody good game of the week is, drumroll, no, Overwatch 2. So I was a huge fan of the first Overwatch game. Basically I was a lapsed FPS player, so I was massively into COD and then had to start working a full-time job and so stopped playing FPS. And Overwatch is what brought me back to first-person shooters and competitive gameplay, really. I've been really lapsed on competitive gameplay as well. Yeah. So I have so much nostalgia with this series, so I had to jump in and play Overwatch 2, especially because it's free-to-play now. There was no barrier to entry. Could just jump in. Mm. And all of my old favourite characters are still there, so jump in with Lucio and jump in with Mercy and Zenyatta. Can you tell I was a support player? But D.Va as well, and just, you know, run around causing havoc. And I was super lucky this week because I got to play with my Goa fam.
Yeah, that was so much fun. And we were talking about this briefly before, but, you know, you played this game in its early stages. Did you play it at launch, or was it like just after like it first came out?
No, I'm pretty sure it was a launch game for me. Jumped straight into it because it was just the big hype game, right? Mm. And especially because all the other shooters around at the time were the, you know, can it be any grittier? Like, you know, the brown sepia, World War, gritty dudes, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that, but it was just such a breath of fresh air in the market. And again, like probably Halo is the last kind of arena shooter before that was kind of close to this with the novelty of the different guns and those kinds of things. So it was really, really something that brought a lot of my different gaming friends together because discrete roles as well. So I will clearly say this, my aim is terrible. so being able to play somebody like Lucio who has an area of effect, and then if somebody gets close, I can boop them away. It's perfect. Just the brightness of the game and... Blizzard working really hard over the years to try and create a narrative with the game as well, with all the characters and, you know, some of them being related and having connected storylines. That's something that I've followed along the years as well. Just all that nostalgia brought into my gaming this week.
Yeah, I feel the same as well. I played this, I think it was pretty much on launch, myself and my partner. I think we both got it together. And this was my first introduction to... like a team first-person shooter. For those who don't know, I started gaming what I consider really quite late in my life, so this was like my first taste of that. And it was just something really charming about the colourfulness and the kind of play, like that fun that Overwatch brought. And, you know, everything you were saying before about, you know, its characters and the narrative, and when they did those animated shorts, which were still now... absolutely gorgeous. Like the standard and quality of those are incredible. Something that really resonated with me as well, I noticed immediately, it was just how diverse all the characters were. Like obviously you've got a good mix of characters in there who are human, or, you know, part human or part robot, or you know, things like that too. But the fact that they were like, you know, it's still in our world almost, but you know, it's, you know, you've got characters from different countries and stuff like that, and just having that representation, like you know, having Symmetra for me, like for example, was incredible. It was just, I don't know, it was something that really stood out and like was quite like close to my heart. And I feel like that's something that they had done really well. And like you mentioned before as well, you know, when it comes to aiming and like your area of effect stuff, I think that's something good about Overwatch, is that it is quite approachable for like a good variety of players. Like you've definitely got your characters where like if you're an experienced gamer, or you know, you have good aim and you know, you're pretty handy that way, you have those characters that can cater to those play styles. But then you've also got other characters who are a little bit more forgiving, a little bit more easier to learn and get a grasp on if you are new to gaming, which I think is also why I enjoyed it at the time of launch as well. And it's interesting seeing and looking back on my Overwatch journey, seeing my transition between, you know, playing characters like just like, you know, Mercy, for example, I think was like one of the first ones I always played as. And now I'm playing characters like McCree and Zenyatta and things like that. It's just, it's great. And the longevity of it is great. But there is something I do want to talk about. But firstly, thanks to Aussie Broadband for giving us a bloody good Games of the Week this week.
Oh, amazing. And yeah, thank you for bringing the Goa crew back together, Overwatch 2. You know, just getting Straight, who'd never played Overwatch on board. And we had Menfonzo, who was just, you know, top tier competitive gamer.
Yeah,
And you, I think you're a bit more skilled than I am at gaming. So it was really nice that we had all these different skill levels and experience levels of the game that could just all come together.
Yeah, like it didn't like hinder our experience at all. That like, you know, like we'll make it very clear, Menthi was calling most of the shots there. Like, you know,
yes,
like
yes, like absolutely.
Definitely the most experienced kind of person on the team, but like you said, all of us having these different skill levels, it all still worked really well and we all still had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
What I do want to have a chat about for a bit is, you know, we've both played this game pretty much since launch. And Overwatch 2 obviously came out early this month, went free to play. How do we feel about Overwatch 2 coming off, like, I guess the back of the first game? Is it what you expected? Like, I know what I want to say, but is it what you expected? Like, do you think Overwatch 2 should have been a free update, I feel like, is what a lot of people are saying? Yeah. Or do you feel like this still feels different enough that it's its own sequel? Like, what do you think? And I'm interested to know what chat thinks about this as well.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely put your opinions, what you guys think about Overwatch 2 in there. I read Nico's review that he put out, I think, on day of launch, which was essentially saying, I think that they promised us a few things with Overwatch 2 that they really didn't deliver on. I don't know about you, but I absolutely loved the PvE challenges and things that they did in Overwatch 1. And it was always, you know, the special event kind of things, but I think they'd kind of inferred that was going to be more of a mainstay element in Overwatch 2, and for them to have launched the game with that completely absent is disappointing. I am relieved that I think after all the loot box debacle that at least we're not worrying about loot boxes. That's kind of good. There's no more gambling in my game, so I can feel free to, you know, recommend it to anybody and not have to worry that I'm going to cause them to become addicted to loot boxes.
Which is a whole kettle of fish in itself. And it's interesting because, you know, I feel like the strongest parts of Overwatch, obviously the main part being its multiplayer, those special events, like you mentioned, like they had I'm trying to remember the name of the event. There was an event where it was a bit of a throwback to like the younger days of Overwatch. That's when you got the Commander Morrison skin. I don't know if you remember that. It was like the young version of Soldier 76.
Yes, yes.
And there was a lot of storytelling in like a PvE, you know, space. Not even just that, but even the Halloween events that they did. The first one, really, really fantastic. Now, I don't know if you were following every Halloween event they were doing, because when the first Halloween event came out, I was like, oh my God, it was so good. Like, Junkenstein's Revenge.
Yes, that was amazing.
So, so good. And then I just kind of hoped every year after they would change it up, but it was the same Junkenstein Revenge every year.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's a shame. I was like, because it's so good. And now obviously it's just waves of enemies over and over again, but it just felt like that kind of more and more every year that was like, oh yeah, I know what to expect. Like, yeah, there's a couple extra skins. But like what you said, and like both of us mentioned before, what we really loved about Overwatch was the storytelling and the characters and the world that it was set in. And I do remember early days of Overwatch 2, they said they wanted to focus on more of the, you know, that kind of narrative-driven style. And you're right, they haven't done that. And that's that kind of, it does make me quite sad, because like for me personally, going into Overwatch 2, well, actually, I had my sister actually jumped onto Overwatch 2 first, because Overwatch 1 was her first-person shooter, because I said to her, hey, this is really fun, you should get into this. And awesome. She got, like, hardcore into it. And you think I'm competitive, you should see what she's like.
Okay.
Yeah, but I said to her, because I hadn't played number 2 yet, and I said, oh, how was it? And I was like, how's Overwatch 2? And she goes, feels kind of like the first one.
Yeah.
And, like, you could tell, like, she was still excited because you had Kiriko, you had Junker Queen and Sojourn and, you know, the new characters, but everything else, like, nothing made it really jump out and, like, wow, this is Overwatch 2. Like, for me, it did feel like, you know, because they always obviously introduced new maps and new characters along the way during the course of Overwatch 1. It felt like that kind of accelerated into one big update, you know, with all these extra. I love the push the robot escort, like, game mode. Like, that's really cool. Yeah. New maps are really cool. How do we feel also about the 6 team stacked to the 5 as well?
You know, I'm actually enjoying the faster pace because, you know, historically you'd have your 2 tanks where now the kind of general leaning is just having one. Mm. And it feels more frantic and fast paced. I think I'm enjoying it more just because reliably games are going, you know, more quickly. So the upside to that as well is if you're getting absolutely smashed, you get smashed more quickly and you die more quickly. So then you can get into another game and hopefully turn the tide a little bit. What are your thoughts about the new composition?
I don't know. I'm feeling like 2 minds about it. Like, I agree with everything you're saying because I just feel like the game is running a bit faster. But I was interested to see what you thought from a support perspective, because I don't know if it's just because I'm a little out of practice or whether, I don't know, I just feel like I'm struggling a little bit more because obviously the tanks are so much stronger, obviously, because there's only one tank now. For those who don't know, like, if the usual was, what was it, 2 tanks, 2 DPS, 2 healers, and now there's just one solo tank. I don't know, I'm struggling as a support. I feel like I struggle a bit more than I remember than I did playing 1. But I don't know. I feel like I got to test the waters. Like, if I play competitive, like, which I haven't dared dip my toes into just yet, because I did play a lot of that when 1 came out, maybe I'll feel a little bit more of it there.
I'm not ready for competitive yet. I'm trying, like, all the characters that I didn't play as much around Overwatch 1, and especially the new characters as well. So I was trying to play Kiriko, and our team just got absolutely smashed. And there was this, you know, the old school Overwatch that we love, where people in chat are just absolutely smashing you, just oh, you wouldn't be saying GG if you had these supports and just all that kind of rubbish and far less polite versions of what I just said. I'm not quite ready for competitive yet. But I do know what you mean with I felt like I had more to do as a support when there was multiple tanks. with two, like double the supports to one tank, it's definitely now I feel like somebody definitely has to go Lucio, because you need to have somebody that's going with the group pushing the target if it's, yeah, you know, one of those kinds of maps, and then somebody who will go off with the flankers and support the DPS characters. That's kind of how it feels to me. So if nobody's playing Lucio, I'll go Lucio, but otherwise I'll pick one of the flanking supports, like the Mercy, yeah, where I can just fly around,
yeah,
or Zenyatta, where I can put my orbs out to the guys in the sky or around to the side. So
yeah,
maybe it's a little bit more predictable as a support. You can't have multiple hard pushes coming in. It's just not the one focus push, and then maybe a couple of flankers depending on how it's working out.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of an interesting one, especially when you have such pokey DPS as well, like Tracer and stuff on your back most, yes, of the time, which can be quite frustrating.
But I mean, I think we both suffered with getting killed a lot in our back lines, because you know, you've only got the one tank and your DPS is gone, and so you've got a Genji or a Tracer that's jumping in behind you, and you have to fend for yourself.
I feel like it's definitely been a bit of a challenge staying alive, and I feel like the supports become a little bit more vulnerable because you don't, like, in some respect, have that second tank kind of covering for you instead of, like, pushing, like, that hard kind of front, you know?
Front line role, yeah.
But speaking of Tracer.
Yes.
Yeah. and speaking of Overwatch and speaking of Junkrat, junk food, McDonald's. So for those who haven't seen it, McDonald's Australia and Overwatch have a collaboration going on at the moment. So they basically have what they're calling like an Overwatch meal. And I got an email actually saying, you know, buff your Overwatch meal, you know, get this Overwatch meal and get a free Tracer skin. Have you seen a Tracer skin?
Oh, I haven't seen it. Actually.
I'm actually going to get it up so you can have
a look. You have to get it up.
I want to know, and I'm kind of glad of getting your first reaction to this as well. I won't say anything. So basically what happens, here we go. Hold on, let me get this picture up.
The suspense is killing me.
So you have to order through, because my partner's done this already and I'm going to admittedly do it tonight. You order through the McDonald's app, and you'll see there's an Overwatch meal. And when you do the Overwatch meal, whatever email I believe is connected to your account is what you get this Overwatch skin. I think it's like a code or something sent to you.
Okay. Yeah.
You can only redeem once per account.
Email. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to get it up here now.
That's interesting.
Interesting, yeah.
It's like, 90s X-Men.
Yeah.
Actually,
it is. I don't know, because like I saw the rumors when we were at PAX last week. Like McDonald's had put out that first teaser, like that first tweet that was like, they posted the picture of Overwatch, like the logo, like Overwatch 2 logo, and we're like, oh my god, what is it? I don't know if I was expecting too much from the Overwatch skin, being something outrageously not different, but just a bit more than like a color and a haircut kind of deal going on.
I've just been catching up on chat, and Doormat has just said it's a skin from Overwatch 1 apparently.
I never mained
Tracer, so yeah, I wouldn't have known.
Hello to Gracia as well, or Grace. She says, look, not the cutest skin.
Let me describe it for people who are listening. So it's like gray, like chunky-ish base. With like yellow feature detailing. So like the bottom third of the leggings are yellow, but then it's got like dotting gradient, like large dot.
Yeah.
Polka dot gradient.
Like it's not even like a yellow, like a McDonald's yellow. It's a like a highlighter yellow and green kind of yellow.
Yeah.
And like I think they call this one like the lightning skin, and I've only just noticed the lightning bolt on the like the belly section into the leg.
Oh, yes.
Because I didn't pick that up the first time. I was so overwhelmed by all the yellow. I was like, yeah.
You know, I'm blinded.
But yeah, I don't know if I'd call it Macca's themed. Like if it was red and yellow, I'd be like, oh, that's a bit funny, like a little bit on the nose, but I'll take it. But yeah, I don't know.
I'm surprised now that Dormat said that it's a skin from Overwatch 1. Like I would have assumed they would have done a unique
a new one
skin for Macca's. Like the amount of money and effort they've put into this promotion. Like we're all going out and buying a Macca's meal. I'm going to go buy one tomorrow.
Yeah.
I feel almost like a bit cheated knowing that now, Dormat. I should have been kept in the dark.
Yeah. It's a it's an interesting one, that's for sure. I'm interested. I mean, look, I'm going to get it anyway just for the lols, and I also because it's the lightning skin, I feel like in my namesake, I should probably get it.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet.
Yeah, I don't know. I think because one, if it is what Dormat says is an Overwatch 1 skin, you know, like what you said, I feel a little bit cheated. Especially because it felt like they were hyping this up. I was like, oh my God, you know, McDonald's Overwatch exclusive skin. What? I don't know. Maybe it looks nicer in game. Maybe we'll just have to find out.
I think it will look better in game. But you'd think that for the promotional picture, they'd have something that would just be like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Or that reminds me of McDonald's in some way, but it's a bit like mushed up French fry on concrete.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. Yeah, that's kind of what it is. But nevertheless, I kind of do, on the flip side of this, I do kind of like the idea that I guess Australia's being included in some cool collaboration. Because I feel like I could be wrong. I feel like there was a Domino's thing that happened with the game at one point. But I don't know. It's just nice to see. Usually I feel like we miss out on these cool like promotions and stuff.
We do. I think we're on a roll because we had the BTS McDonald's thing.
Yes, actually I remember that.
And that the sauce, the Cajun sauce, is beautiful.
That was really good.
And then you had the Kid Leroy one, which I was surprised we got. I don't know if you saw that we had had the Kid Leroy promotion. It was essentially just the meal that Kid Leroy orders, which I can't even remember what it was, but it was just like a meal with a couple of nuggets and a storm or something. I cannot remember for the life of me how it was.
Well, look, at least we're not getting left out, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Maybe is the upside to this. Like, we're getting involved.
Yes.
But yeah.
And maybe everywhere around the world got the disappointing skin.
I did see like when it was revealed, because I think it's only in Australia at the moment, or is only going to be in Australia. I don't know. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But I think I saw some people who weren't from Australia who saw it and they're like, no, I don't care anymore. like, because they had like massive FOMO and they were like, no, I'm going to do it. I do want to touch on one thing that I am very passionate and excited for that's happening. I believe it's tomorrow morning, just before we wrap up the rest of the show. Well, there's actually two showcases happening. I believe they're both this week. Well, the one for sure that's happening tomorrow morning that I'm excited for is the Resident Evil showcase. But there is a Silent Hill showcase that has been announced as well, which I believe is also this week. But I do obviously want to talk about the Resident Evil one.
Of course.
I do love me some Resident Evil.
So have they done like a promo for it to say what they're going to be talking about?
Well, yeah. So the thing is it's going to be a mix of things. So I've got playing at the moment the Resident Evil 4 remake trailer. When they announced the showcase, they said they'll be talking more about that. And they'll be talking more about the Resident Evil Village DLC that's coming at the end of this month, I believe. But the only thing they didn't mention was poor you can call it Reverse or Reverse, which was like their multiplayer online aspect where you could play as Leon and Claire, and you like basically are versing everyone else, and you can turn into some of the biggest baddies of Resident Evil franchise. And yeah, so I think it's going to be an interesting one tomorrow night, because I was personally looking forward to Reverse, but I am so looking forward to the Resident Evil 4 remake. This is the first game where first Resident Evil game that I've played like the original or closest to the original version of that's getting that remake treatment that Resident Evil 2 and 3 got. And I'm so keen for it, because like I'm looking at this trailer again for the first time in ages, and it makes me remember what the old one was like and how many different levels and steps this new remake really amps it up. Like, obviously in terms of graphics, but I think in the way it's just going to play and stuff as well. I cannot wait for them to hopefully show more of it Thursday morning. And I'm really looking forward to the Resident Evil Village DLC as well. So
just confirming, this is definitely a remake.
Yes, it's not a remaster, it's a remake. So like fully from the ground up. So it's not just here's the PlayStation 4 Resident Evil version that we brought out and we're just tweaking it a bit. Like they're fully, like all the character models and stuff. I feel like the best thing to do is maybe put up now the original. Oh, actually, someone's done it for us already. I think it's good old IGN. They like just looking at the comparison between the two. Oh, it's not just perfect. That simple, like, yeah, we've just tweaked a few things. They've actually everything I think is getting kind of redone, especially because with RE4, and I'll just switch this over again, there are quite like open sections of the map that you can explore, kind of like this one here, because you can go into different locations and stuff, but you can see the stark contrast.
They've changed the whole tone of the game, haven't they?
They've definitely made it a lot more scary looking. Like I would say, like Resident Evil 4, I wouldn't say is that high in my scary books, but gameplay wise, I always described Resident Evil 8 is how did I describe it? As like Resident Evil 4 and 7 had a baby, like in terms of like the actual action, like game mechanic part of it was very much like RE4. So I think a lot of people who maybe play Village will quite enjoy 4, maybe if they haven't played it before. And especially people who like playing in third person, because I know first person point of view isn't a big thing for a lot of people. I don't mind either. I think it just adds a different experience. But if you're like looking at like these locations we're showing on the screen at the moment, it looks incredibly like vastly different. This isn't just a one and done touch up. Like this is fully remade. But I've seen comparisons between 2 and 3. Obviously I wasn't around when the original 2 and 3 came out. But seeing the quality on like especially the new gen consoles and stuff as well, of how beautiful looking those games looked, and it's weird saying beautiful to a horror game, but how like intricate and detailed and stuff those games were, it just makes me excited for what they're going to show with 4 for sure.
It's really interesting because one of the things that I really like, and me saying like, is somebody who doesn't play horror games but sits next to their husband while my husband's playing horror games, is that thing that naturally you had to have with those old school games, which is that like distance fog, because they couldn't actually generate the image of things going on far in the distance. They just put like a dense fog in the forest, and that would fix them not having to generate all these things going on in the distance. Whether now with these games they're having to actually physically put like really nice fog in. That spooky vibe, which is definitely a different thing to see. What are you looking forward to most, do you think, with playing the game again? Are you hoping for reliving the same experience, or do you want there to be new and surprising things happening?
I don't mind a bit of column A, column B. Like I think because obviously RE4, when I played it, it was an older game, but I only played it like a year or two ago now. It wasn't that scary because obviously the graphics and stuff were like But they were just fine. Like, there were still some scary moments. But it was very, I'm trying to, like, put the right word for it. Because I did love it. It is one of my favorite ones. But I think about when I was playing Resident Evil Village, and there's a few moments, like, when Ethan walks through, like, all this kind of forest before he gets to the village, and there's this beautiful, like, sunset, like, over the entire landscape.
Yeah.
And, like, obviously this was the first game that was on a new-gen console as well, or, like, had that new-gen kind of treatment. I remember just going, oh, I was like, this is going to be great, because in contrast, those dark, dark shadowy kind of areas, and the, you see things like leaking out the walls, or you see blood on the floor, and that the reflection, all of that just adds more, I feel like, to that level of immersion and horror. So I think, like, with 4, I'm interested to see as well, narrative wise, because again, this game is a little old, the story is a little dated. Like, I already know from talking to a friend, like, Resident Evil 4, like, in, because they released it on VR as well. Only I think in the last year or so.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
But they actually, like, removed, like, there was, like, one scene, like, some lines that was said to, like, from, I won't say what it is, but it was just, like, from a male character to a female character that would be considered very inappropriate.
Yes.
And, like, it's just interesting to see how much they will change in that aspect, and as well, like, the character of Ashley, who I have a love-hate relationship with, because you're basically she's like the president's daughter.
Yeah,
you're trying to save her and keep her alive. I'm interested to see whether they give her a little bit more confidence or a little bit more, I don't know what the word is, like, she's very helpless in the original, and I'm not saying that I want her to turn around and be the next Ada Wong, like, that's not that's Ada's own thing, but whether like, I don't know, Ashley is just a little bit more stronger in character. Like, it's like, I would be scared too if I had all these, like, scary, like, obviously infected people following me. Like, I'd be terrified too. But just, I think I'd love to see if she develops more as a character, and kind of how, just how maybe the combat may change. I think the combat from memory was fine as it was. Like, I really enjoyed it. There's nothing I felt about it where I was like, oh, I hate this. It was all quite enjoyable. But yeah, I think I'm just interested to see narrative wise and mechanic wise, how much they are willing to change up, especially when you've got those fans that hate things being changed and everything should be as it is. I'm pretty open and flexible to change.
Yeah.
So I guess only time will tell, and hopefully tomorrow morning. I think it's, like, quite early in the morning for Australia.
Are you setting your alarm?
Maybe. It depends if I have an early night. It depends. But yeah, so I'm quite looking forward to that. Maybe we'll get some news on Reverse. Maybe we won't. I'm not holding my hopes out for it. And then, we'll have Village DLC at the end of the month. So that'll be pretty good.
Yeah, that'll be very cool.
Yeah, really looking forward to that. But I think that's kind of all we have time for today. But thank you so much for jumping on the podcast with me as well.
Oh, no, thank you for having me, Stormy. Lovely to catch up with you.
Nice to catch up with you too. Like, we haven't done this together, like, before, like, just you and me. So this is really nice.
Yeah,
I was going to say, let's do it more often, but I also want Jim to get better and be well.
We need Jim back. We definitely need Jim back. I feel so spoiled. I got so much Stormy over the last fortnight.
From having, like, nothing of, like, us not meeting for so long and then hanging out at PAX, us having us cute little hot chockies with Doom Cutie, and then and then now playing Overwatch and stuff together. Yeah, it's great. And it's like, you know, it sounds corny, but it's just, like, that power of gaming that's just... Yeah. Like, comes through, and it still, like, kept us connected. I really like that.
That's amazing.
But thank you.
You know what we might have to do?
What?
Do a spin-off show.
Oh. Ooh. Oh, yeah, we could definitely talk about that later.
If the audience wants that, tweet us.
If they want it, yeah, just let us know. Tweet us at Game On Oz. But if you are enjoying the show, make sure – this is Jim just got a spin-off, you say. well, if you want to see more of us or more of Jim, the weekly show, Nuts and Bolts, all the Game On Oz reviews that we relayed earlier in the show, make sure sure you check out our website, GameOnOz.com. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everything, so you don't miss a single thing. And catch us at Nuts and Bolts tomorrow?
Well, maybe? It depends on if Jim's sick. Better.
Yeah. Yes. Otherwise, stay tuned for next week. Jim needs to rest up.
Yeah,
definitely next week. Yeah. So, yeah, we hope to catch you again same time next week. And, yeah, make sure you subscribe to us on all those podcast apps that you love to use. And we'll catch you in the next show. Thank you so much, Natty.
Thanks so
much. Bye, chat.
Bye.